Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The last time Natalie saw her sister, Catherine Barry, was when she was only a few months old. When Natalie became a teenager, she was told that Catherine was missing, and her heart was shattered. Natalie has dedicated many years to searching, praying, and thinking about her sister Catherine. In December of 2022, she discovered that a missing persons report was not on file for Catherine. So, she gathered as much basic information as she could about Catherine's disappearance, drove to the Muskogee, Oklahoma police station, and filed the missing persons report for her sister. The case number is 2023-10570. Pinning down the exact date and circumstances surrounding Catherine's disappearance is tricky. Natalie thinks her sister went missing sometime around February of 1987 in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Catherine would have been a senior in high school and just turned 18 years old. Natalie has spent the last year gathering more information about her sister, sifting through rumors and facts, and speaking to whoever will speak with her. Natalie and her mother have also contributed their DNA to a database to compare the DNA of unidentified remains across the country, but there's been no match to Catherine. If you have any information that might be helpful, contact Natalie through the Where is Catherine Barry Facebook page or call the Muskogee Police Department at 918-683-8000. I spoke with Natalie about her sister's disappearance.
Let's start with the basics before we get into Catherine's disappearance itself. I don't get to know these people, and so I like to hear from people who do know them, you know, what they're like. And so I'm wondering, can you tell me, for someone who hasn't met Catherine, what would they notice the first time meeting her about her personality and her physical appearance?
Well, so, you know, I didn't grow up with her, so all of the information that I have about her personality, what she was like, is coming from other people, which, I mean, it's on my end, that is one of the benefits of kind of leading this search at this point, is that I have been able to talk to so many people that knew her. And so what they have said is she lived kind of a crappy life. She didn't have a lot of good things going on, but that she remained positive anyway, that she was always looking for the good. She was always very optimistic about her future, very loving, very friendly, but selective about who she hung out with, you know, so not a social butterfly. She picked her friends wisely. She had a slight lisp, which I thought was interesting, because one of my kids actually has a slight lisp as well. So maybe that's a hereditary thing, right? She was very just mainstream, you know, wore blue jeans, listened to top 40 music, good kid, stayed out of trouble for the most part. She worked. She went to school. She was in high school in her senior year and was looking forward to graduating. Very loving, friendly. Our brother, would come home to visit, and she took care of him. So she was a very nurturing young woman. I think that's about it. That's what I could say. She's petite and just a good person.
You mentioned that you didn't really grow up with Catherine. I'm going to just kind of skip ahead a little bit here in the questions, but I'm wondering, can you give whatever context you're comfortable with, like what the family dynamic was like, you know, who your parents were and what happened to them? Like, again, anything that you're comfortable mm-hmm. sharing to give the listener a bit more context on kind of where you and Catherine came from.
Right. So one of the questions that I get is, why wasn't there a police report filed? And you know, some of these types of questions, you know, like specifically the circumstances of her disappearance and things like that, which I haven't been able to get to, because when she disappeared at that time, I was 12. And so just kind of a little back history, she is my half-sister. And so we share the same mother, and her father and my mother, when they were married, Catherine was the firstborn. Then they had another child, Glenn, Daryl Glenn. And she, my mother was pregnant, and I don't know the circumstances, but I do know that they split up. And shortly afterwards, she met my father. So she had another full sibling from Catherine. And that is one of the things that I don't think that the Berry family is aware of, that he is actually her full sibling and Glenn's full sibling. And then they had two more children, myself and another boy. So there's all five of us. And so there was some family conflict there. And my mother wasn't really encouraged to communicate with them. And I think that a lot of the Berry family, just out of respect for, you know, her father, didn't want to communicate with my mother. My mother and my siblings, we were not allowed to see Catherine and Glenn growing up. We weren't allowed to communicate. We weren't allowed to visit. None of that. And so when Catherine disappeared, like I said, I was around 12 years old or something at the time. And we actually didn't find out that she was missing right away. It was probably a couple of years, because when Catherine turned 18, my mother started searching for her. And like I said, with the conflict in the family, people just didn't want to communicate with her. And so it took a while for her to find out that actually Catherine was missing. And so I found out around the time I was, I don't know, 14, 15, something like that. But the circumstances were pretty vague. Not a lot was shared with my mother. And so she proceeded to hire private investigators. She talked with someone from Dateline, you know, so there's all this history where our family kind of has done some searching. And then that's, you know, the Berry family. I'm not sure exactly what has gone on there. I was told there was a police report filed at the time. But I was also told that her father said, well, she just turned 18. She probably ran off and she can do whatever she wants. And so this is one of the problems with, you know, why wasn't there a police report filed? I'm not sure, to be honest. And I cannot even answer why my mother didn't file one. What she told me was that at first she assumed that her father had filed a police report. And then later at some point, an officer told her that she could not file a missing persons report, which I don't fully understand, but it was the 80s, right? Things were very different. I was also told there was a police report that was filed, but then there was a fire at the Muskogee Police Department that destroyed a bunch of files, and one of them was hers. Now, this was before things were on computers, right? So that's potentially something that happened. Again, I'm just not sure. That's the history on that.
Yeah, and before we get into kind of where things are currently and what you've done to file reports and whatnot, I want to kind of just go back and you said, you know, there's a lot of uncertain information surrounding Catherine's disappearance, but I know you've been digging and trying to get some information and figure out details. So I'm wondering, what can you tell us about, you know, whether it's the, I guess a good place to start would be the date, time, and location you know about her disappearance, and maybe the circumstances surrounding it. Like, what have you uncovered through your research?
Mm-hmm, right. So when I discovered there wasn't a police report filed, that was December of, oh goodness, I think it was a couple of months. I just gathered what information I could get and went to the police, Muskogee Police Department, and filed the case. And so that was, March. It was a year ago this month. And over the last year, I haven't seen a whole lot of activity from the Muskogee Police Department. I've spoken with the detective several times. A few months after the report was filed, Catherine's father, Daryl, actually passed away. So anything he knew is gone. It's gone. But over this last year, especially having filed the report, the Berry family has really, a lot of them have opened their hearts and their mouths to me. And so I have been able to get a lot of information. Now, keeping in mind, some of this is 30-year-old information, right? People have a hard time remembering some things. And so I'm having to sift through what is fact, what was rumor, right? So my understanding was, okay, she had a relationship sometime December of 86, and that ended. She had some conflict with her stepmother and father, and had moved in with some friends. Okay, the senior year of high school, around January, she was working, but she, when she turned 18, she was really more focused on school and going to work, and there was some conflict. The last that I heard was one of her cousins spoke to her on the phone, and they said they were going to Marie's parents' house. Now, Marie was the stepmother. And so they were supposed to be taking Catherine out to her parents' house. Someone said there was some conflict at that time. And then that's the last anyone had spoken to her, was that cousin that I'm aware of. And so it was sometime in February that this occurred. Like I said, shortly after she turned 18, 2-3 weeks maybe. Now, there have been rumors, again, things like, well, she might have been human trafficked. There's no evidence of that. There's also been rumors that she ran off with someone. Again, there's no evidence of that. It's really hard to say what might have happened, but I honestly feel like there are people out there that know something more. That they're just not talking about.
And so what we really know in terms of details is that she was last seen in somewhere around Muskogee, Oklahoma, February 1987. Can you, for someone who's not familiar with Oklahoma or Muskogee, can you kind of describe what Oklahoma is like and what you know about Muskogee? I'm just curious if you can set a bit of context on the setting.
Sure. Muskogee is a very small town. In the 80s, very, very small. It hasn't gotten much larger. So Oklahoma City sits right about in the center of Oklahoma. And this is where I live. This is where, I grew up. My mother, my siblings, we grew up here in Oklahoma City. And so Catherine and her family, the Berry family, lived in Muskogee, which is approximately 2 hours to the east of here. So if you kind of know where Tulsa is, which is another, fairly large city here in Oklahoma, we would make kind of a triangle. So it would be southeast of Tulsa. Again, very small town. Pretty much everybody knows everybody around there. Not a whole lot of crime, not a whole lot going on.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And so I want to get back to the police report for a sec. So Catherine goes missing in what we think is February sometime of 1987. And then from what you told me, you filed a report of her missing only last year. I think you said March of last year. So I'm just wondering, you know, A, what made you finally wanted to file a report? And I guess the other question, and I think you alluded to this earlier in the interview, but like, why did it take so long? Like, is it just the complicated family matters, or is there more to that?
Well, so I think that, again, I don't know for a fact that one wasn't filed because, you know, everything was on paper, and so the fire could have potentially destroyed a file. I do know that there wasn't anything on file digitally anywhere in the United States. There was nothing filed on her. And I didn't know this. Obviously, when you're a kid and you hear, you know, your sister is missing, I mean, that broke my heart because I always looked forward to someday meeting her. I grew up with a bunch of brothers, right? And so for me, it wasn't a matter of she's my half-sibling. She was my sister. We don't think of siblings that way. She was my sister. Or is my sister, rather. But when you're a kid, you assume the adults are handling the situation. And so as I got older, I thought, okay, my mother's doing what she needs to do, and I would do my part and do my research and trying to locate her. But again, I was not aware that there wasn't something on file for her until that December. And I can't even remember how I came into that information. It just shook me, though. It shook me because I know there's only so much you can do alone, you know, trying to do a private search. If this young girl went missing, she needs to be reported as missing, right? And so I just took it upon myself. I said, I don't know what everybody else is doing, but this needs to be done right away. So I know that they can compare, you know, for unidentified bodies across the United States and things like that. And I just thought, it's been over 30 years. We need to have some kind of closure. If she's okay, that's perfectly fine. Catherine, contact the Muskogee Police Department and just let them know. If there's a, you know, situation where you don't want to have contact with any of your family members, that's totally fine, but we just need to know that you're okay. And everyone who cares, and there's so many people that care about her, we just want to know that she's okay. And if that's not the case, this young girl deserves some resolution. She went missing. So many people love her. If something bad did happen to her, we want to bring her home. You know, we want to bring her home and have that closure. My mother's health is failing. She's on the downside of life, and she needs that closure, right? I just felt like she needed an advocate. There wasn't something on file, and that just told me everything I needed to know, that I needed to step up and do something.
Do you have a sense of what maybe happened based on just some of the research and digging that you've done? Like, do you think Catherine might have disappeared on her own volition, or something nefarious happened, or maybe she's still out there? Like, what do you have any theories or anything you want to share about that?
So from everyone I've talked to, she would not have run away. My our brother Glenn is deaf, and so growing up, he was sent to deaf school. And he would come home occasionally. And like I said, she was his primary caretaker when he came home. She loved him. Everyone said she would not have left him. Okay. He was so important to her. And she knew that she was his primary caretaker in that respect. And she was always looking out for him. So she would not have left him. And he has not heard from her since. We did make contact with him about 20 years ago. So he's told me everything that he knows, and which isn't much. He saw her the December before she disappeared, when he came home from school, and she took care of him then. So he was so important to her, she would not have just run off and left him, right? The other thing was, she didn't have a great life. She wasn't treated very well by her stepmother, and I'm going to say that because, you know, that's what I've been told. That's what I've been told. So until she reaches out to me and talks to me, I don't know otherwise. But I have to, you know, what other people have said, she just did not have a good home life. And so she really was optimistic, though. She was on the verge of graduating high school, and she saw that as a very important milestone in her life. So she would not have just up and left and run away. She wanted to graduate. She wanted that degree. She wanted to be able to start her life and to take care of Glenn. That was her goal. So no, I don't believe she ran off. Something happened to her. And I do believe that that's, you know, something nefarious happened to her. I don't see, based on what everyone has said.
Yeah, and she would have been at a pivotal point in her young life, right? Like, she would have been around 18 or so, I think, at the time.
Right.
Yeah, and so she would have been going, like you said, finishing high school and, you know, really just starting her life. So you said she seemed pretty optimistic about her future and growing up.
Right, and she had her own car, so she wouldn't have been hitchhiking or anything like that. She wouldn't have been, you know, doing anything like that. She went to school. She came home, she went to work, you know, she had very few friends, not much of a social life. No, I don't believe she just up and left. And no, her car has not been located. I am in the process of trying to figure out where her car is, you know. So that is something someone pointed out. I appreciate it because I hadn't thought about that. So I will be looking into what happened to her vehicle.
And I know there's a picture of not her vehicle, but one similar to it on the missing persons poster on the Facebook page. But are you able to describe the vehicle, or do you want to just direct people to the Facebook page?
I mean, I would love if they go to the Facebook page, right, to share anything they know, thoughts and prayers, always appreciated. At that time, she was driving a tan or maybe faded orange Maverick, Ford Maverick. Very distinctive car these days, but not so much back then in the 80s, right? So yeah, nothing fancy, just a little Ford Maverick.
Yeah, and definitely we'll plug the Facebook page at the beginning and the end of this for people to check out. I'm curious, like, I know you put a call out for information on there, you know, for people to share their memories and, you know, any interactions or conversations they might have had with Catherine's or any sightings. Have you yielded any information that's helped you digging into this? Like, are you still getting, like, helpful information from people?
I am. And, you know, one of the things that's very important to me is that people know that when they come to me directly and talk to me, that I'm not going to share, you know, the name of the person that disclosed information to me. There are some things, obviously, I have to share with the detective, and I have done so. Everything I gathered over the last year, I took to the detective in charge of her case last month. And so he has everything that I know factually. But yes, I encourage anyone with more information. I did just post something because I do want to narrow down the time frame even further. She went missing in February of 1987. So if anyone had any interaction with her around that time before or after, you know, we need to know. We need to be able to pin down more precisely when she went missing, because that is information that we just don't have. If anyone has any information about her vehicle, right? But I have, yes, I continue to get information. I continue to keep it confidential, you know, who's telling me what. Anything that might be pertinent, I'm always available.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm wondering, for those listening, you know, what can they do to help you find out more information about what happened to Catherine or where she might be? Like, what's the biggest thing you need help with right now?
I think what I see being possibly the most beneficial that anyone can do is just to share that flyer, you know, have it go nationwide, because it has been 30 years. There have been people that moved out of that town, right? That moved out of Muskogee, moved away from there, that might know something. And then also people, you know, in that town. So the more exposure that that gets, I think the more people are going to be able to come forward and say, hey, I didn't know this was a problem. I didn't know that she'd gone missing. The last time I saw her was, you know, et cetera. So I do think that that would be the absolutely most helpful thing that people could do.
Again, if you have any information that might be helpful in locating Catherine, contact Natalie through the Where is Catherine Berry Facebook page or call the Muskogee Police Department at 918-683-8000. If you like the podcast, please consider supporting me on Buy Me a Coffee or Patreon. Both are linked in the show notes. If you don't want to spend any money, no worries. You can support the pod by leaving a 5-star review where you're listening to this right now. Feel free to check out the pod and support it on social media as well. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all linked in the show notes. Thanks for listening to the Missing and Unexplained podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.